This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3769 for Thursday, the 12th of January, 2023. Today's show is entitled Crouching Laptop, Hidden Server Part 0. It is part of the series Virtualization. It is hosted by some guy on the internet and is about 14 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is Virtualized Battlegrounds.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. I'm your host, some guy on the internet, and I'm here with
Archer 72.
All right, so we're here with Archer 72. He just posted something amazing in the chat room, and I was like, oh man, we got to talk about that. Now, it's not fully put together yet, but we're going to discuss it anyway, because it feels good to get in on the ground floor before the machine is fully assembled. So Archer, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you posted in the chat?
He had an old laptop and set up a Proxmox server on it, and I just got to the install and made one change since I've installed it.
So we're running Proxmox, ladies and gentlemen. Hear it out. Proxmox on a laptop. What kind of specs are we talking about here, Archer?
I believe an i3, but I'd have to go back in the notes and or in the computer and look up the specs.
Roughly an i3, you got a good idea for the amount of RAM we're going to have on this bad boy? Or are you planning on upgrading it in the near future? Or
no, I think 8 gigs of RAM. I can't remember what I have.
Ooh, that's going to be a close one right there. 8 gigs? What's the plan? What's the minimum number of VMs you're thinking you're going to be able to get on this thing?
3, possibly. Let me look at the web UI. It probably tells me what the RAM is.
So if we're looking at about 8 gigs of RAM, 3 VMs, that's going to be kind of close. From my understanding, this Proxmox system has Debian as a base?
That's right. I don't know. It's showing on the UI that I only have 4 gigs of RAM. That's weird. I thought I'd put more in there.
That's going to be playing it very close.
That will. I think I need to get more RAM.
You got to have some extra lying around, right?
No, I have to look at the specs closer and see what I can put in it.
Well, for a laptop, I wouldn't go above. Well, if it's got 4 in it now, I'd just slap an 8 gig stick next to it and call it good.
I could do that. So we might have to get back together later.
Oh, no. This is still going to work. We got roughly an i3, 4 gigs of RAM. That means you can still get one VM off the ground for now, right?
Right.
All right, now, that one VM that we're talking about, what are you planning on doing with it?
I think I'll start with Arch, because it's pretty lightweight. Actually, that's the funny thing is that's where my username comes from, because I used Arch for 6 years or so.
Ooh, so we got a little background story here. Username plus the distro you're going to be running on it, and I'm assuming this is going to be Arch Headless?
Yes, it is.
Now, oh boy, Arch Headless. What are you going to be running on a headless Arch system? That sounds pretty crazy.
Like I said, it's the ground floor, so I don't quite know what I want to do yet. I just saw a video on how to do Proxmox, and I thought it might be an interesting challenge to do.
I'm thinking a little crazy. What do you say you just run it out there in the wild for a little while on the open net? Maybe host a Nextcloud instance out there.
On Arch? Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, well, with 4 gigs, it'd be kind of tight with the LAMP stack. So maybe not. Maybe not Nextcloud. That might be a bit tight.
Yeah, it is. You kind of build it up as you go, and that's why I had liked it before. And then I don't remember what happened, but I tried Klaatu was talking about Slackware. And so I was like, oh, well, I'll try that. But I still like both.
I never used Slackware, and I've only set up Arch once a long time ago in a VM. But I didn't actually use it as a system. I just wanted to say I set up Arch. Any chance we can convince you to self-host something out there in the wild on the raw, untamed internet?
Yeah, sure. It's worth a try.
Now, this is going to be great. My laptop that I'm going to be running, it's an HP, one of those cheaper HP laptops that have the, what is it, the i3 in it. It's the model 14-CK0052. CL.
Mine is an Intel Core i3-2350 CPU with 2.3 gigahertz.
I think we're running roughly the same type of system here.
Right. That's about right.
Now, mine, the last time I checked, I think I got either 8 or 16 gigs in there. Maybe it had 8 and I put 16 in it because I still got laptop RAM from other older laptops or whatever. Mine's running Ubuntu 2004, and I'm thinking I'm going to put this puppy out there in the wild as well. I'm going to be taking a different approach using some of the documentation I got from Red Hat.
Oh yeah, I did. I tried Vert Manager too, and it's a second level hypervisor. That's the difference between Proxmox and Vert Manager. Proxmox is on the bare metal.
All right, here we go. I just found it right here. All right, so it's going to be using Vert Manager with QEMU and KVM, or you use Vert Install to create your VMs. So the RHEL documentation I found for building and setting up your VMs, just all from the command line, is excellent. They obviously want you to run it on RHEL or CentOS Stream or whatever, but the same packages work over on Ubuntu as well. So that's the route I'm going to go with it. And I'm doing it mainly just to get my command line foo up there. Because the other method was just use Vert Manager, the GUI, build your VMs there, and then migrate them over to the system and then run them that way.
That's what I was doing, is through the GUI. So far, yes. I didn't have to do anything after the install, just plug in my Ethernet. And then after that, logind.conf and comment out those things where you can close the laptop lid.
Oh, yeah. Got to definitely hit up that logind.
Yeah, that did work. I can put that in the notes later.
With my setup getting started, I'm going to have to install the packages QEMU-KVM, the package libvert, and the package vert install. And from there, I'll be able to use a couple of simple commands to build a VM. This laptop isn't going to be running large VMs, obviously. So I guess it'll be like, you know, I'll just be testing it on small and medium. Now, have you toured with any of the bridging in Proxmox to be able to get this thing out on the network, the VM?
No, I've just gone as far as the logind.
That is going to be interesting as well. I really want to know how this process is going to work with me just trying to do it all from the command line, trying to set up a bridge and get this thing an IP on the network.
I was just wondering the same thing because I can't even get a basic Vim. I got Vim Tiny. I'm missing some of the functionality of Vim.
Oh, and your VM? You already got it launched?
Yeah, they have a web interface, web UI. They have a place you can go to the shell. I was using that to change my login.d.
That's one of the things I like about it. With that UI, you get that flexibility of like using a VPS. Well, you know how where you can jump on Linode or wherever and use the Lish terminals that they have online. So with Proxmox, they're giving you that same sort of flexibility, but on the LAN using the web tool. All right, so we just got back. We were looking at a few bits of documentation. And anything interesting you found there, Archer?
No. You found more documentation than I did.
Yeah, I mean, we both stumbled across some really good bits and pieces, a couple of YouTube videos and lots of docs from Proxmox. It seems that they allow you to, let me go pull that up here. So from the Proxmox website, if you were to, from the main page, go over to the downloads tab at the top, scroll all the way down, you'll then find the downloadable PDF documentation, which gives you a lot more information to work with. So even if you haven't downloaded and ran Proxmox yet, you can get that documentation and at least get a good peek at what you'd be getting yourself into if you were to use Proxmox. And Archer ran across a lot of other wonderful docs out there from there's a site called Bob Cares that has some great information on breaking your VMs out, setting up that virtual bridge, and some VLAN information. That's all going to be included down in the show notes.
And also the YouTube link. That's where I actually got what got me interested in the beginning.
Right, because that YouTube link shows just how easy it is to get set up in Proxmox. And Archer, you pointed out something earlier about how lightweight it is. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
I apparently only have 4 gigs of RAM, and I thought I had more, but it's only running using 1 gig of RAM.
So we're talking about a system with 4 cores and 4 gigs of RAM. You loaded up Proxmox on there as your operating system, which is a Debian base with the Proxmox hypervisor. You're only running right now, up and running, with only 1 gig of RAM?
That's true.
That means in the future, when you're ready to expand, you've got plenty of room to, you know, plenty of wiggle room to give your VMs more maybe not too much processing power because it's an i3, but you don't have to starve them on the RAM side.
No, and it has 4 gigs of swap too, and I'm guessing that will change if I add more RAM.
Yeah, I think for now, because you're limited on the RAM, they're probably putting that swap in there as a good idea, you know. Any services start filling up that RAM pretty quickly, you want some swap.
And I think it creates that automatically. I actually made no changes except for that, like I said, login D. The next step is to expand the storage. From the video, he had me delete one of the volumes and then expand the remaining volume. But I didn't do that yet.
We're going to take two approaches here, ladies and gentlemen. Archer's going to be using the fantastic Proxmox with all this wonderful documentation right here. I mean, honestly, I'm kind of jealous just looking at it. It looks great, looks easy. There's lots of nice videos to help guide you along. This is wonderful. I'm going to attempt something similar. I'm going to be running Ubuntu and doing mine through the command line, but I'm very jealous of this UI, and I'm thinking for a UI of my own, maybe running Cockpit. I think Ubuntu has a version of Cockpit that can be downloaded, installed, and, you know, quickly configured to run on the network. And from Cockpit, maybe I won't be able to set up VMs from there, but I can still migrate VMs over to the system if I need to from my desktop. I'm going to try to do it all through the command line, though, just to get the system set up that way and just use scripts whenever I want to lob a new VM. And, of course, I'm going to put it out on a great wide open. So, in a future episode, when me and Archer get back together, I want us to have some information, you know, our highs and lows of this entire setup, and some information on what to expect when running on your home network. All right, so Archer and I just ran through a little bit more documentation, finding some great DNS services out there. And Archer, any of them you want to recommend?
DuckDNS, if you don't mind that Google is one of the login options, and GitHub.
Well, for what we're doing, I think it'll be just fine. But for those of you out there listening, depending on what kind of services you're running and what information you're moving through those services, if you're not running something like WireGuard to encrypt that traffic, I think you're going to want to be careful, but look, it's a service that's available at no cost to the user. And notice I did not use the word free.
No, because we are the product.
Indeed. Well, Archer, we did a great job bringing up a lot of information for the folks to have something to look forward to. You running Proxmox on a Debian-based system, and with the current stats in your box, let's go ahead and do a quick reminder. You're going to be running at i3 with 4 gigs of RAM currently, with an upgrade in the future, hopefully. And any other information you want to add on top of that?
Just that the web UI is pretty user-friendly.
Now, here's hoping we can also get a little bit of containerization later on. We'll have to wait and see how that works. We have to first make it out the gate. I'll probably crash and fail, end up weeping the night away and switching over to Proxmox as well. But I won't do so without giving it a go. So that'll wrap it up for today's episode, you guys. Thank you all for listening. I'm some guy on the internet here with
Archer72.
And we're out of here.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by an
honesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.